Welcome to my speech about creating professional templates with LibreOffice Writer. I am Gabriele Ponzo. I work on my own on IT field. I'm the founder of Terni Linux User Group. Terni is my town. I'm founder and vice president of Libre Italia and full member and former chairman of TDF's membership committee. And I am certified as a LibreOffice professional trainer and migration expert. This is the agenda of what we are talking about today. First of all, the importance of a corporate template. As you can see here, this is three random documents downloaded from the website of my municipality. And as you can see, they look all different. I tried to align them as the best I could. And apart from the naive usage of tabulation spaces and paragraphs and whatever, which is something different. But apart from that, you can see that the logo, for example, is every time in a different place and in a different quality. I don't know if you can see here, this is really a bad quality. You can see the artifacts of JPEG. So the importance of a corporate template is, first of all, to give a uniform image of the entity, the company or whatever it is, to the public. So it would be best if the stationery would look like always the same, with the same position and size for the logo, for example, and the data consistency and so on. What should it contain? Usually the logo, again, the entity data, so the address, the name, address, and the mobile phone and corporate phone and whatever. Usually they are put in the header and in the footer of the document. Then the repetitive text. What I mean is that, for example, if you're going to prepare a template for an offer, usually, let's say that some statements are really common to stay there, so you could place them there and leave it there instead of writing every time from scratch. Then you can create customized styles to ease the work. And remember that you can create more than a template, obviously. And most of all, you can create templates from templates, which is something really interesting. So you could prepare a template really basic with never changing data of the company. And then you could create a template from that one for the different departments, for example. If you create a template, you start from an empty document and then you add the header or footer and write the introduction text. And we'll see that hitting Control F2, you can add some special items, just like document fields, document info, placeholder, and most of all, input field and input lists. And then add conditional paragraphs or sections. Why and when to automate and lock contents? Sadly, most of the users are not skilled, they are not trained to work with office automation. This is really sad, but at least in Italy, this is the most common situation. So most of them uses, for example, the word processing, just like they used to use the typewriter. And we know that they are dramatically different, because a typewriter, yes, is a mechanical machine. It already had some special features, just like tabulations, and most of the users didn't know about that, just because you had to open the cover to set them. But by the way, obviously the word processing is something really, really different, really improved. Obviously, you have a computer, so you should profit of having a computing ability. And so that's the reason for which they are so much different. So letting them choose among options, it's in a dialog box, for example, is much better than allowing them to write directly in the document. And if you lock the contents of the document, at least some part of the document, you can avoid them messing up. For example, with the position of the logo, you can lock it so it can't move and can't stay anywhere else than you fixed on the very first time. Keep in mind that spending time in creating template is not a loss of time, it's an investment, just because they used to last for decades. So it's a good investment of time, and it could take also weeks of work. We are going to play with input fields and lists. We'll see that we can choose, for example, to insert an input field from two tabs. Hitting Control 2, we have the function tab and the variable tab. And the behavior of those input fields are really different, and we'll see that. Then we have the input list, which is sadly present just in the function tab. It is sad just because this means that you can't associate a variable to an input list. So when you choose a value among the list, it is not stored anywhere. What you see here is the document I'm going to demonstrate, and this is the encoding, an XML, of those special fields. So let's see what happens when we try to insert some special field. Hitting Control F2, we call out this dialog. And as you can see, we have here fields. Let's say that I want to insert input field. Let's call it, give it as a reference var1, and then insert the reference foo1. Okay. Now inserted this field, but it didn't create any variable. And I know this because if I go here in variables, I can't see any variable. This is because I called this function from functions instead of calling from variables. So the first thing to do is use variables instead of functions if we want to have the value of the field inserted stored into a variable. So let's say, but even if I go here and I go to input field, as you can see, I can't anyway set a variable to assign the value, because first of all I have to set the variable. So, and set the right type of variable. Let's say text, for example. Give it a name, this time var1, because the other one didn't exist. Let's give it a value foo1. And now insert. Now this is a variable. As you can see, the result is almost the same, but if you click here, if you go here, you can see the hand, while here you see the cursor, the regular cursor. If you click on the hand, double click on the hand, it prompts for the value, just because this is an input field, even if not assigned to any variable. If you go here and double click, you are prompted with this other dialog, which is much more technical, because this is a variable. Now you can even delete this variable, since the variable has been created. And now you can go here to input field and go and set, let's say, ref1, choosing the variable and then insert, and this is the new value, let's say, and that's it. So if I double click here, now I got the simpler dialog to insert the value, but this time whatever I write here is stored into the variable. So the first improvement could be, for example, to avoid these, you know, all round, to set the variable, delete it, or at least hide it, and then assign the input field to that variable. Say that probably would be simpler if it would be implied and, you know, automatic, that creating an input field from the variable tab, it should automatically prompt for a variable name and create it without having to do this round. And the second improvement should be about the input list, because here you see that we have input list. Create, let's say, A, B, and see and choose, and you can insert this input list. If you double click here, you got this, and you can choose among the list, which is really useful, but it is not possible to assign this chosen value to any variable. As you can see, we don't have any input list here, so this is a second improvement I would like to see sooner or later. In fact, you may see that I can recall show variable 1 insert. So if I change here the value and I write my name and I hit OK, as you can see, the variable is changed. The value of the variable is changed accordingly. So this is really useful, but you can't do the same with the input list. I just added some description to the fields just to better recognize them among the coding of the XML file. Let's do this. Flat XML, save. So we've seen that if you choose to insert an input field from the variable tab, you can recall the value of the choice wherever you want through a variable. You can't do this with the input list, we have seen why, but you can use a dirty workaround, which is setting a cross-reference and then recalling the reference later on in the document, wherever you want. But this is okay if you just need to report that choice, but not if you want to base this choice for a condition, for example, on a section or a paragraph or whatever. So I have prepared this simple template with some input text and some input lists. And for example, here we have, you know, the appellation, esteemed sir, madam, and whatever. For the addressee of this document, let's say sir. In this case, this is not a company, but a person. So I choose this space. This is just an empty space. And then the address, Square Avenue and whatever, lane, let's say lane, for example, and whatever. Then, again, this is just a copy and paste of that. So again, engineer and architect and whatever. Here we can choose among various types of document, check and report, service offer, products quote and quote request. Then, but all of them are input lists. And as I have explained before, we can't use the chosen value to do anything except for with a trick. I have set a cross-reference here, so as you can see, if I choose another value here, it is reported here too. But this is just a cross-reference. It's useful to report the chosen value somewhere else, while this is a variable, so if I change this variable, for example, with TDF, look here. As you can see, this section has changed. We recognize it as a section just because of those lines. And the reason is that I have prepared three sections in advance, and their appearance are conditioned to the project name variable. So as you can see, they are hidden if the project name is different from the project name that they expect they are supposed to relate. So in this condition, in this case, sorry, I've chosen TDF, and so this section has